A woman that trusts her man and is communicating that and is posturing that and is having that in her energetic transmission, like that is powerful soil for a man to rise, a man to deepen into his masculine power, a man to come alive, like in the relationship and outside of it. Truly a man that is backed by a woman. A man that feels such deep trust from his woman, like trust in that, like she trusts him and his decisions and his capacity in the world. That's an unstoppable man.
Yo, 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 lovers. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. We're the O'Neills. You're here with Megan Jacob.
And this is the place we have really uncensored conversations about sex, intimacy, and relationships. We're super excited you're here. Enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone.
What's up, lovers?
Hi, my man.
What's up, lover?
I don't know how to answer that question.
What's up? A general, how are you? What's been happening? It's not an invitation to like.
What's up? Nothing much.
You feeling happy?
I'm feeling so good. I feel so happy. I'm so happy with where we live and the convenience of where we live. For those
Tell
of
them
you
about
that
what
don't know,
doing.
we were living on 7 acres in like the bush, still on the Gold Coast, but it was like 30 minutes to the beach. And we still loved going to the beach. We still loved going and seeing our friends and community that lived about 30 minutes away, sometimes 40 minutes away.
Sometimes 50.
I used to drive like 50 minutes to my pole dancing class.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just was challenging at times. And I wanted to move for like 5 months. And we were patient and we were very particular about where we wanted to live and
I will say you were patient. That's the truth. You're not just saying that.
Yeah, I was really patient.
You were really patient. You weren't rushing and like.
I was still very much looking.
Yeah.
But.
Realestate.com was getting a workout.
Yeah. We were really blessed and created an experience where the owner loved us.
We always have a great experience.
You are phenomenal with.
I'm a people person.
You are.
People don't know this about me, but I'm actually a people person.
Why do people not know?
Because people sometimes think that I don't really like people or I'm a bit sort of standoffish.
Sometimes you can play that character of being like.
Dark and moody.
Yeah.
That's part of who I am.
Mainly at parties.
Yeah. We did our erotic blueprint. Shout out to.
Jaya.
Yep. Is it just Jaya? Is there anyone else? Is that her thing?
Jaya, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Shout out to Jaya.
His name's Ian, I think.
And to Ian. And I'm actually an energetic.
Yeah.
Which makes perfect sense. So if I'm at a party and I look annoyed, it's probably because your energy's not that good. It's got nothing to do with me.
Okay. How are you before we dive in?
I'm feeling $100. Back when $100 used to be able to afford a house. I'm feeling a million. I'm feeling $10 million.
We're feeling good.
Today's a good day.
Now let's get into it.
I haven't finished what I was saying.
Okay.
I truly think that like a lot of the time, we can get caught in the idea of, oh, it's all an inside job. We just need to shift our internal state. Mm. And sometimes it's about holding the vision and trusting the process. We've been chatting to like our friends who have just bought a new house and they were literally holding on for the house and everything. And it's come to fruition for them. And it's really beautiful. Mm. And I was having a chat with another guy who's had a similar experience of like manifestation and did another podcast today that's coming out. It's with Tyron and we're talking about the process of faith.
Mm.
I think faith can be such a beautiful thing to relax into. And that for me is like super, super important to remember when you are calling something in is to have faith.
Completely.
Mm. And that's like right now after having such a hectic couple of months, I'm like, oh, I kept the faith. Even when everything else felt hard and nothing seemed to make sense and I was questioning it, I was like, just come back and have faith. Have faith and trust in the process. So, yeah, this like arriving here and having this feeling, although it hasn't felt that normal for the last few months, it's nice to land in it and be like, fuck, we were patient, we were engaged and we stayed the course. We didn't ever check out. We stayed in the process of it and now we get to – yeah, we get to ride to the beach in 2 minutes. We get to go and have coffee on the creek. We get to go to the dog park after this and hang out with all your new friends. Like, we've got the
guys. We live right near this new like off leash, or there's like a big off leash dog park like 200 meters from my house, and I'm now a part of the community there.
Meg has joined. I have private chat. There.
I was invited on the Instagram thread.
She's a Palm Beach local.
It feels so good. Yeah. I'm my mum. I'm your mum. My mum loves like going to a coffee shop and someone knowing her name and being a part of a community. I am my mother.
You are your mother.
Yeah. So.
And that's a good thing. Your mum's great.
My mum's the best.
Shout out to Coco. Coco.
Okay.
All right. Let's dive in. What are we talking about today, my love? This is a pretty hot topic and something that I think is going to be seriously valuable for, and I also want to put a disclaimer. This isn't something that we as men then just get to weaponize either. This is something that we're learning and understanding on a deeper level.
Yeah. Mm. So we're going to talk about what it means to express cleanly in our feminine energy, or clean feminine expression, mm-hmm. versus projection. And really, this conversation came about from some conversations I was having with my clients in Full Spectrum Woman around being a safe woman, like what it means to be a safe woman if you're in a heterosexual relationship, a safe woman to a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so often, and rightly so, there's big conversations around safety, the safety a man can create for a woman. And I think those conversations still obviously need to be had. And I'm such a huge advocate for those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And safety is one of the biggest, deepest keys to unlock a woman's femininity and unlock her. And I'm not just saying her surrender, but her power and her depth of trust and all of the magical, powerful parts of a woman's depth of feminine energy. Like, safety is key in relationship, especially. But what's not a conversation that's not spoken enough about is really creating a safe environment for a man, and being part of a man's environment when we're in relationship to him or with him, being a part, like we are part of his environment. We are part of his environment, full stop, which means his environment dictates or supports his growth, supports how much he feels open to share, how much he's expressing himself, all of these different pieces.
Your woman has influence on you. I think that
completely,
you know, so often it's like the masculine is the container and the feminine is what sits within it. You know, men are here to hold, you know, the very frequent sort of phrase is, you know, the masculine holds the feminine. The masculine holds the feminine. And that is true. I totally agree with that. But at the same time, it's like the feminine does have the ability to influence and either call forward into greatness or crush into nothingness. And it's like, that's a powerful energy to hold as a woman. Like, you have a responsibility to wield the feminine that exists within you in a way that is safe, not safe in like, I'm going to tiptoe around this man and not cause him to feel things, but I'm going to do it in a way that is safe and allows him to experience the love that he needs, the awareness that he needs, I guess the little nudge or the little like, or the understanding that he needs. Mm. And I can bring that in a way that is appropriate and safe.
And I don't even know if safe, and as we're having this conversation, I'm like, I don't even know if I like safe as the word. Maybe it's nourishing, like a nourishing woman. And if we think of this as like a man is a plant, I was going to say a flower, but that a man is a, what do you want to be?
I want to be a tree.
Okay. A man is a tree.
Big, strong tree.
And we, like, a tree grows and thrives due to its environment.
The soil that it's planted in.
Yes, and the weather and all of
water,
it.
Water, the sun.
And we can't deny as women or as women or as humans that if we're sleeping in the same bed with someone every night, if we have our lives intertwined, if we're in partnership, of course who we are being and how we are meeting that person and the words we're using and the posture we're taking in our body and the transmission we're literally offering to that person. Of course, that is influencing the way they are being in the world. Of course, that is influencing how they feel in the world and how they're growing and evolving. Of course, we cannot deny that. If we are in partnership, we are an integral part of the environment of the human we're in partnership with.
You're really passionate about this, my love. I'm loving it. I'm loving
and like,
it.
Are we aware of that role, number one? And are we taking responsibility for that role? How are we taking that role? How do I want to put that? Yeah, are we trying to thrive in that role and do our best to be the best environment for our partner? Or are we just focused on he's not being enough, he's not doing enough, he's not the big strong tree yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's not being the tree I want him to be yet without actually realizing we're a part of that.
You get to water that tree or you get to snap it in half. And like the piece that I'm, the clear thing here is like, what is your... You know, can you understand that your role has a place in his growth and expansion as a man?
Yes.
And for me, can you understand, this is the thing, is like, am I bringing through my feminine transmission to control him, or am I bringing it through in service to him and his fullest potential? And I think that's really important to sit with and be like, wow, if I actually fed this man, if I actually energetically fed this man, everything that would nourish his, you know, his capacity to actualize what he's here to create in service to humanity, fuck, what would I be on the receiving end of? How would he fuck me? How would he take me?
That does things to my body.
And this, this has been, for men, you've got to learn how to receive that. That's going to be your journey to receiving that level of nourishment, to be fed in that way. But, you know, this is polarity, baby. This is really honoring. And it's not about you have to always be that, but this is a skill. And this is something that you get to bring to your relationship in service to the deepening of your love.
And I would say, yes, this is about polarizing relationship. And beyond that, this is about love.
Yeah.
This isn't just like, I'm going to say, be ready at 6 p.m. as a masculine being so she feels, you know, like I'm taking the lead. No, this is about, I am devoted to this man.
Yeah.
And I wish part of my role and my devotion, part of my role and...
Sorry, that was driving me mad.
Part of my role and my devotion as the woman that gets to love him, right, is to do my fucking best.
Yes.
Is to feed him really well, right? Energetically, right? Emotionally, all of that, to be a powerful environment for him. And let's dive into what we're going to talk about what that looks like.
Yeah. I just want to also say, like, what may be hard, what you may not know as well as a woman, especially in a relationship, is that a big part of a man's fulfillment is in service to his woman, in giving what, you know, in giving to his woman and being the, you know, a lot of men, you know, there's a lot of harping on around, like, be present with her. And yes, but there is also a part that feeds a man when he can protect and provide for a woman. And part of, you know, being able to provide is knowing that, you know, it's, you know, that there's someone that believes in their capacity to be the provider, to go out and get the things and bring them home in whatever capacity that looks like. So,
yes,
like, I want to completely debunk any myth that, you know, he doesn't want to love you better. And he does. And this is a way that, you know, this is a very, very real and tangible way that you can call more of that love in and more of that capacity in for him to bring that home to you.
I adore that. And maybe this is the place we start with talking about what this looks like, because a lot of women would be like, I don't feel that part of him that wants to really adore me or wants to really look after me or wants to really show up. And this isn't always the case, but what I've witnessed in a lot of the clients I've worked with and a lot of just like observing the world and partnerships in the world is that often a man closes that part of himself down after feeling like, I don't know how to support her, right? Mm-hmm. I'm struggling to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Or I don't feel good enough.
Mm-hmm.
She's made me feel like every time I try, I get it wrong. So what's mm-hmm. the fucking point anymore?
What's the point? Yep.
And so this is a really powerful place to begin, because if you want to be a nourishing environment for your man, you must bring this energy of, I believe in you. I respect you. I truly believe in your capacity. I believe in your ability. I believe that you can get it right.
Mm-hmm.
So often as women, and if we're talking about this like clean feminine expression versus projection or emasculation, if we call it, a big part of emasculation is this energy of, I know better. You might not be saying that to your partner as a woman, but fuck, he's feeling that. And your transmission is offering that, your posture, your energy, right? The way you're holding yourself, the undercurrent of the words you're saying. Literally, that is translating to, I know better. And an example of this could be, you know, he's packing the car, right? He's packing the car with things. And you've said to him like, oh, you're doing it that way.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're doing it that way. Right? And that might seem like the simplest thing, but under that, oh, you're doing it that way is like, I'm questioning you because I don't believe the way you're doing it is right. And I've got a better way to do it. And I wouldn't have done that way. And actually there's a part of me that wants you to stop doing that so I can do it my way and it can be right. And that might seem really small, but when there's like many, many micro moments like this in a partnership, really what this is communicating to your partner is, I don't believe in you. I don't trust you. And I know better than you. And if we're thinking of this analogy of like the tree, do you think that's powerful soil for the tree to grow, for your man to grow?
Mm.
And so many women are expressing, and communicating in that way. And obviously, because that's what's been handed down to us from our mothers or from pop culture and TV or whatever it is.
Mm.
Right? A lot of women are communicating in that way in their relationships or offering that transmission and simultaneously holding this deep yearning to trust their man, this deep yearning to feel like, oh my gosh, I could just rest into my man and he could take it.
Mm.
But they don't go hand in hand. If you want that, if you want that desire fulfilled, you must choose to be a nourishing woman. You must choose to really become so devoted to clearing those patterns, cleaning up those patterns of emasculation and coming into clean expression with your feminine and really focusing on what kind of environment am I being for my men.
Mm. Those micro moments are very, very important. And I think that can like lean into like the clean feminine transmission. It doesn't have to be this one big, like lavish performance of like, you're so good. Like, you're so good. You're yeah. so best. I believe in you. You're the greatest man that ever lived. It's the micro moments.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's where the mastery of this really comes online is in the micro moments. And those add up just like they do when they are projection or emasculation. And that dripping tap is the way that you either feed him or drown him.
Mm.
And for me, that's like such an important piece, what you've spoken to there, my love. And this is not to discredit if he has dropped you in the past. You know, there's a whole other concept of around like revealing your hurt, which is not what we're talking about today. But
I think that I would like to speak about that in, because really that's okay. A huge part of cool. clean expression. Yep.
Oh, awesome. We're going to speak about that. I didn't read the
sorry
notes.
Sorry to interrupt you.
I didn't read the notes.
We don't write notes.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that we're going to speak about that then. I thought that was going to be a whole another topic, but that kind of weaves into it as well. It's like,
yeah.
He's not perfect. No one is, But at the same time, there's both sides of the coin. I'm like, yeah, you can clean up that projection and start to focus on the little things that he is getting right and celebrating and feeding him in that way. Mm. And then there's also going to be this other vulnerable expression where bringing it through cleanly, bringing through the pain or the hurt or the feeling of being dropped by him is you bring that through with an open heart as well. So there's a real vulnerability to both sides. And I think too is that when you do start to do this and you feel his capacity to lead and direct and command the space, there is a level of you letting go of control. There is a level of you surrendering and relaxing into him that is going to take a little bit of time, especially if you've been more if you're more on the other end of like using those projections to hold him in this state of not good enough or I know better than.
Yes.
So that's why those micro moments are important, because they're going to slowly allow you to transition from here to here.
Mm. I want to go into that clean expression, like in revealing versus projection.
Would you like to do that right now?
Yeah, let's do that right now. But that just to like recap this first point is a really beautiful question to ask yourself is like, do I think I know better? Do I think I know better? And that is going to be really confronting.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be in moments where, you know, he's washing the dishes or driving or, you know, like we said, these micro moments. And to catch yourself in, oh, I think I know better than him right now.
Mm-hmm.
What if, okay, if I think I know better and I follow that thread, that's going to have a moment unfold in a certain way. And that moment is probably not going to lead to deeper connection. That moment is probably not going to lead to deeper intimacy if the transmission I'm bringing or the way I'm meeting this him is, I know better than you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Versus if you notice that and you go, okay, what if I didn't think I knew better right now? What if I actually, I had the way I would do it and he has the way he's doing it and I trusted his way, even if I don't understand it,
mm-hmm.
even if I wouldn't choose that, like what would happen right now if I trusted his way without having to fucking understand it? And that is the portal to deeper intimacy and connection, because that is going to make your man feel like a man, feel like you trust him.
Mm.
He's not going to then go like, oh, fuck, okay, you do it. Or, oh, okay, like I can't get anything right. That is a nourishing environment. When a man feels like I am trusted in this space.
Mm-hmm. Can we, before we move on, I think this is an important piece too.
Mm.
Because if you are listening and you're a woman, you're like, oh, fuck, I do all of this.
Mm.
There's going to be moments where you are going to drop consciousness and potentially project or emasculate. There's going to be moments.
Still do that.
Well, I'm just thinking of the plants the other day.
Do you want to tell that story?
I think just tell that story, because this is the example of how you fumbled, but then
picked it up.
So I think this is important too, because we're not expecting, you know, women to all of a sudden be these perfect little submissive, I'm going to feed him everything that he needs, I'm going to be the perfect little wife or the perfect little partner. It's like there's still going to be parts of you that are a little bit sharp and edgy, but how do you soften those and I guess, yeah, recover if you do project?
Yes.
Mm.
And this is where I want to go, just off the back of that. Clean expression doesn't mean sweet, soft, and surrendered. Clean expression is ownership of the expression, which we're going to go into in a moment. But let's tell the story of me nagging you about the plants. So we just moved. And
you didn't know we moved to Palm Beach.
We moved, and Jacob did 99.99999% of the move, and you're amazing.
Thank
you. Like, you did so much. You did so much, so much, so much. And then maybe the day after we moved, oh no, it was a few days after we moved,
mm-hmm.
We were going to Brisbane, and I was feeling emotional because it was my grandmother's.
It was your grandmother's
celebration of her life. She'd passed away, and I just had a morning where nothing felt like it was going right, and we were just
driving to Brisbane in separate cars. That's
and I
never
don't
good.
Lie. I like when you drive, and we had to take separate cars. And so, as I'm backing out of our driveway, I've looked over to the right, and I see all my plants that have been left outside from the move, and half of them are dead or dying. And I literally called Jacob. And again, you were exhausted. You'd showed up so deeply. You'd done so much. And I And that moment felt the need to call you and say, what did I say to you?
Did you know that the plants are dead? You left them outside.
Do you know the plants are dead? You left them outside. And then you, what did you say?
I was like, yes, I did. I didn't realize that. And yeah, I didn't realize that they were going to die. I didn't realize that I would die that quickly being out in the sun.
And then you were like, are you okay? Mm. I was like, I'm just feeling a lot and it's okay. You can move, like, don't worry. You don't have to do anything.
And I mean, that's what I said. I said, oh, listen, I can't do anything about it right now because I'm almost in Brisbane, but I can message someone. I was like, we can message someone. And you're like, no. I'm just. And it was kind of like this, like, kind of tussle. And I was like, oh, I can't do anything about it right now. I'm happy to say that, yes, I did leave them outside. But I didn't sort of.
I don't know what I was needing. I don't know what I was expecting in that moment. It was the part of me that was just like,
you did something wrong.
You did something wrong, and I need to show you that you did something wrong. And then I drove, like, 5 minutes later, I drove to a cafe to get some food, and then I messaged you being like,
did you message me? It was really cute.
Okay, do you want to read it?
I'll have a look. I'll see if I can find
it. I would usually have called you, but I knew you were driving, and I knew that I'd already, usually I would have
called.
Exhausted. I never really, like, apologize via message. What did I say?
I'm sorry I was rude. I'm feeling really emotional today, and I didn't realize it. Thanks for doing all you do. You do so, so, so much for me and us, and I'm so grateful.
Mm.
Like, that was the most epic recovery.
Because it was, like, I did realize as I drove, and I knew in the moment, but I drove off and I was like, that was unfair. I didn't need to do that. After you spent 4 days of your life moving for us, and I had appreciated you for that, but, like, that was not cool. That was not respectful. Mm. That was not,
it wasn't clean.
Not loving. That was not clean. It was, I want to show you that you're wrong and I'm right. And you shouldn't have fucked up like that. And so, and this is one of the things we are deeply devoted to, and we are such advocates for you to practice. And many of you do already practice this from listening, but we're such big fans of, like, owning when we fucked up and even saying, like, can I have another go of that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or coming in and just, like, aren't, like, the way that I owned that of, like, hey, I'm sorry. What's underneath that phone call was, I'm emotional.
Yeah.
I'm feeling really emotional today. And I'm sorry. That wasn't, I projected that on you. That wasn't yours to have. And, you know, the truth is you do so much and I appreciate you deeply.
Mm. I think that's, like, if it does come into your awareness after the fact, you can actually send that message. You can actually go back in and speak those words and, like, clear the space.
Mm.
You don't have to wait for your partner to come back and say, hey, what you said was wrong, and sort of play this back and forth of who's right, who's wrong. If you want to recover and reconnect in that way, you can.
Yeah, you can opt out of that right or wrong dynamic in any fucking moment.
Exactly, yeah.
And I highly recommend you do.
Yeah.
Whenever you realize you're in that dynamic, if I'm trying to be right and I'm trying to make my partner wrong, like, opt the fuck out. It does not lead to deeper intimacy. It does not lead to deeper love or connection.
No way. And, like, that, like, after that, I was like, oh, my love's, I was like, oh, not only did I feel fed, I also knew, hey, you're really emotional today. Thank you for, like, giving me some information that's going to help me love you better.
Mm.
Like, there's a vulnerability in that. It's like, oh, cool. I'm going to be here. Like, and I was, and I was like, I'm showing up for you. I'm going to look after you. And, like, the difference in that is, like, if you hadn't have come back with that, there would have been a part of me be like, oh man, like, I just can't get it right.
Mm.
But in your message that followed that, it was like, oh, she does see all of the things that I do, and she is grateful for me, and she's really emotional. So, yeah, that through the grace of humanness, I'm gonna love you and reconnect and choose you again and again and again.
And, you know, I could, and this is the piece I really want women to hear as well. So many women focus on, he's not showing up. Like, even listening to this conversation, some people might be like, how do I respect him? How do I appreciate him? How, like, there's nothing he's doing. There's so many fuck ups he's doing. I can't trust him. There's all these things that he's doing wrong and, you know, X, Y, and Z. Yes, you can keep choosing to focus on that. Do you want to evoke more of that? Awesome. Okay, keep focusing on that. Epic. But you could also choose to, and I'm not talking about letting things slide or biting your tongue,
mm-hmm.
but I'm talking about get off the ride of holding him in deep resentment and holding, like looking at your partner through the lens of you're not getting it right. And, mm-hmm. and I'm going to show you where you don't get it right. And that's my job, actually, to point out everything that you're getting wrong in our relationship. And actually see if you can practice, wow, like there's so much to appreciate here, because I could have focused on you didn't do the plant thing.
Yeah.
And if I would have let myself focus on that, that could have consumed my whole day, my whole week. You killed my plants. They were expensive. Da, 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 da. You killed my plants. Now we have to go buy more. But I didn't want to focus on that because you were driving to Brisbane to support my family set up for my grandma's celebration of life and MC, and you just moved. And like, there was so many other things for me to focus on and appreciate.
Yeah, you zoomed out.
I zoomed out. Yeah. And like so often, and no matter where you're at in your relationship, I'm always kind of brutal about this. If you're devoted to holding your partner in that kind of resentment, get out.
Yeah, get
like out of the if you want to stay in the relationship, you either turn your focus to what you can appreciate, right,
mm-hmm.
or you leave.
Otherwise, you're choosing that.
What was that?
That was the spirits of this house confirming your beautiful, beautiful transmission.
Sorry, just moved.
I also want to be like, I did. Like the thing is, like I did leave those plants out.
Yeah.
They did end up dying or are dying. And I didn't do that to hurt you.
Yeah.
I didn't do that on purpose.
Mm.
There's going to be points where your partner doesn't do everything the way that you want them to do. And it's like, it's not actually an attack. Unless it's a narcissistic tendency, which is, you know, very, very nuanced. Like a lot of the things I do aren't to hurt you. The things that I mess up, they're just at me of, you know, I didn't think about that, and I wasn't aware of that, and I can take ownership of that without being like, God, I'm a bad person for not knowing that. And these are the conversations that you then get to, like, oh, cool, like those indoor plants, they did cost a lot of money. Oh, and they are, you know, you did buy them, and they were important to you, and cool. All right, I now know that about those plants. You know, I'm not hiding from that little, you know, and we can take that, and we can have an actual conversation about that after the fact, but. Yeah, I think that there's such an important thing of zooming out and seeing the full picture.
Yes, completely.
Yeah, I just think that's important to know that your partner, if they do trip up on something or if they do forget, or they're not doing that to hurt you. They're not doing that in an attempt to make your life worse or your life uncomfortable.
And this is also the part of trusting him.
Yeah.
Trusting that he loves you, trusting that he wants to love you better.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I need a cough. Excuse me.
Shall we switch gears and go into the revealing?
I think this is like part of that because we even saw in that example that underneath the part of me that was nagging you about the plants or wanted to show you that you were wrong about the plants, underneath that was I'm emotional today and I'm actually feeling at capacity today.
Yeah.
And I'm stretched and I want love.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're looking at clean feminine expression versus projection, projection is I'm feeling something and I'm going to try and push that feeling onto you and blame you for that feeling, right? I'm driving out of the driveway, because I was triggered by the plants because that almost like set me off. Like I was already feeling emotional. So it's almost like, this feeling is Jacob's fault. I'm going to call him and tell him this feeling is his fault, right? Versus clean feminine expression is, okay, I'm feeling this. He's done something and there's a trigger there, or this has brought frustration into my body, or there's anger here, or there's something that's come alive. But instead of pointing my finger and being like, you're to blame and you did this and you're wrong, right? We ask the question, what's underneath that? Like, what's underneath that? What's underneath that? Or another way I like to put this is under every complaint is a desire. The complaint about the plant underneath that was, actually, I just really want love today. That's my desire. Can you look after me? Can you look after me today?
Yeah.
And so this is part of, if we're like circling back to the conversation about being a nourishing woman and being a nourishing environment for your man, this is one of the ultimate practices to start cleaning up where you are projecting and switching that or beginning to be in the practice of cleanly expressing your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why I want to really teach this is because women come to me to be fully expressed, right?
They do. They come to be full spectrum women.
Full spectrum women. that's the work I do in the world. It's like I'm teaching women how to be in their full expression, especially around relationships. But some women take that to mean, oh, I'm a full spectrum woman. I'm going to be fully expressed in my relationship.
I'm going to fuck this man up.
Yeah, that means anything goes. That means I can be in my dragon, my inner dragon, and be like, you did this and you did this. And yes, it's all about welcoming my rage. So I'm going to bring my rage and I'm going to aim it at him. But that's not what the fuck I'm talking about, right? Yes, your rage is welcome in your relationship. Yes, your frustration. Yes, all of you is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
But it's welcome when you own it, when you take responsibility for it in your body. It's not welcome when you're blaming, you're bringing that rage and you're spitting it at your partner and telling you're the one that did this and you make me feel like this. No.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest lines that I use and I teach to move from projection, which is really outward facing, you're to blame, you did this, you're the reason why I'm feeling rage, anger, frustration, disappointment, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
versus clean feminine expression is owning the emotion. So saying, oh, there's anger in my body right now. I'm feeling frustration coming alive in my body right now. Versus you did this and I'm angry, or just raging at your partner and pointing the finger and being like, you didn't unstack the dishwasher correctly, or you killed my plants, right? Versus actually clean feminine expression is when we reveal. It's like we let our partner in. And what I could have said is I could have called you and said, hey, I'm feeling really emotional today. And I've just gotten in the car and I've looked to the side and I saw that my plants are dead and now I want to cry and I'm feeling this a bit of anger and frustration that my plants are dying.
And I kind of want to blame you about it. And I know you've done a lot, but you killed my plants.
Fuck you. No. The expression of like not hiding that, but also not projecting that.
And
it's a reveal.
Yeah. And I think this is like sometimes a little bit of the harsh exterior that I know women can sort of embody is like, I can't let you in. I can't submit to this feeling within me.
Mm.
And it's like, hey, I'm emotional today. And hey, I am feeling this. And hey, I kind of need you today.
Mm.
I need you to show up for me today. And that is a very vulnerable thing because you're asking for help. You're asking for support. And in the landscape of the modern world where everyone's independent, everyone's a fierce boss babe that can do whatever she wants and doesn't need anyone to help her, which, you know, I celebrate the power of women and I think women are here to lead and guide in and steward in this new paradigm, of course. But to deny the gifts that a man is here to give you because you do not feel, because you are not able to submit to the deeper feelings within your feminine core is to deny yourself the thing that you wish to receive the most.
Yeah. And it's, I think at the core of that, it's like, it's counterintuitive. Like if you don't have a desire to feel really deeply received and held by a man, and if you don't have a desire to feel the power of your man,
mm-hmm.
like you don't have to practice any of this shit. Go on with how you're going. But if you deeply, there's a yearning in your body of like, oh, I want to feel my man's power and I want to feel met by him and I want to feel taken care of. If that is a deep yearning, these these are pieces that you must practice because this is part of you creating that, co-creating that experience because it's not just about him.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we sometimes want to go, he's not stepping up, I'm not feeling taken care of, it's mm-hmm. his issue. No, you, it's part, you are a deep part of that environment. I truly believe every single fucking man has the capacity, every heterosexual man has the capacity to be that for a woman.
Yes.
And yes, their inner work is important.
Yes.
But also one woman could diminish that part of a man so deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So he does not bring that part of him forward. And another woman could call forth that part of him.
Aho.
Right? And so I think it is truly, again, I'm going to reiterate that we as women really realizing like, oh, I'm part of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way I'm speaking to my man, the posture I'm taking, am I offering him touch? Like how am I nourishing him so that he's able to be what I deeply yearn for as well?
And this comes back to the piece that you said, if you can't find the capacity to do that in your relationship, then get the fuck out.
Amen.
And that's the that can be a really sobering truth.
Mm.
But you're also holding yourself back from the relationship you want, and the same with your partner. So that's really, really well put, my love. Have a little drink of water.
Yeah, I've got this little cough. I want to offer some more examples before we close up. And I'm just thinking about what examples I want to use.
As in we close up the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Did you want to talk about like revealing your hurt?
Yeah, that's where I really want to go. Yeah.
I think go a little deeper into that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think some other examples of the way we can project as women is, yeah, when we're not getting what we want, when, you know, our partner isn't showing up for us or mm-hmm. we're feeling disappointed or we're not feeling met in certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And so often when that is happening in a relationship, the pattern women, many women come into is, I'm going to either huff and puff and stay silent, but like energetically show him that I'm pissed off, but I'm not going to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell him what I'm disappointed about. I'm not going to actually express what's there, but I'm going to stay silent and close my heart and my body to him, hopefully hoping that he understands that he's fucked up,
mm-hmm.
which is basically I'm going to withhold my love
yep.
from him as a punishment.
He doesn't get access to me and I'm not, and I'm putting up this, it's almost like I'm closing off to him.
Yeah.
I'm turning off the, yeah.
And when you do that as a woman, that is not ever going to lead to deeper intimacy and you getting what you want from your man.
Mm.
You feeling more deeply met, you feeling more deeply nourished, you feeling taken care of, because huffing and puffing or staying silent and withdrawing or withholding is offering him no information mm-hmm. on how to better love you or how to better show up for you. Similarly, if your pattern is to, I'm disappointed he hasn't done all of these things, I'm actually going to nag or I'm going to tell him how wrong he is. I'm going to tell him that he's not doing enough,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm going to focus on what he's not doing. Yeah, I'm going to tell him, you don't do this right. Why don't I've got to do all of these things. You don't do this right. I've got to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the vibe, again, that's also never going to lead to you feeling more deeply connected to your partner or you getting what you want. Because again, there's no information in that on how he can better love you.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there is information, it is wrapped in this is how you can support me better, but you're not doing enough and I don't trust you.
It's wrapped in barbed wire.
Yeah. So that man doesn't want to take that information. That man actually wants to go fuck you to that information.
He'll want to go fuck you, but quite often what he'll do is he'll close off as well. He'll become cold.
Mm.
He will retreat and push you away eventually as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so really, the way, if you're a woman that desires to feel fully met and feel taken care of and get what you want in your relationship, the only path there is to reveal, like, what is alive for you in a clean way.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a clean feminine expression, which is really, you know, if there is something, do you want to give an example of something?
Of what? Of clean feminine expression around
Well, like,
her?
Do you want to give me an example of when I, like, someone could be pissed off?
Say that one of the, I think something that's so across the board is saying I'll be home at 5 and then I don't get home at 5 and I don't communicate.
Yeah. So you've come home a few hours later than you said you would be.
6:45.
And I'm
Friday.
And I'm upset. You know, I could either huff and puff and I could withdraw and withhold, mm-hmm. hoping that you're going to get that you've done something wrong and I'm upset. Yep. Or as soon as you get home and I could say, you're really late and I had dinner on the table and like, I can't even trust you and you do all these mm-hmm. things and where have you been?
Mm-hmm.
And don't you know I had dinner ready and da da da, like this, like projecting anger. Or revealing in this moment would be you arrive home and like, what's alive for me?
Mm.
I'm going to just let you into my heart in that moment, which is, hey, I worked really hard for dinner tonight. And I actually put it on the table at 5:30 and then you didn't get home. And I'm feeling really upset. There's lots of sadness in my body and frustration because I'd prepared and then you didn't arrive home.
And I was really looking forward to spending time with you.
Yeah, that one. Underneath the what's underneath yeah. the complaint was the desire of, and I was really excited for a night, just the two of us together.
No phones.
Without our phones.
You can tell we've had this conversation before.
Without our phones, just like the two of us.
Mm.
And so, you know, you can then hear that the information of, oh, that's what you wanted. I'm not a bad little boy for coming home late. She desired quality time with me.
And that there is going to sting, but it's going to sting because it's true.
Mm.
So that's a really important thing. It's like, oh, I said I'd be home at 5. It's now 6:30. And I didn't communicate otherwise. And this woman has wanted to love me and spend time with me.
Mm.
And I've dropped her. Mm. And she's revealing her hurt and revealing what the deeper desire was and how important that is to her. Like, that is clean as. It's still going to sting, but it's clean. There's nothing for me to attach to or to defend because it's a truth.
Mm.
And it's the truth of your heart. So I can't deny it.
Yeah.
Mm. I'll go let that little dog in. Okay. You keep talking.
Our little dog is barking outside. Okay. He's in the room. Oh, he needed to jump then. He's just jumped over all the podcast cords. Good boy.
I believe he's training us for
hello.
He's training us for parenthood, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh. Hello. Now you're going to be on the YouTube video, Django.
You're on the video, bud.
Yeah. So this clean expression is really a few things here. If you're wanting to practice this, what's underneath this? Like if my pattern was usually to nag or complain or just like project or blame, like what's underneath that?
Mm-hmm.
And if I wasn't trying to be right now, if I wasn't trying to show my partner how they fucked up,
mm-hmm.
like what's actually the truth under that? That when you become devoted to that truth, when you become devoted to the art of revealing, like truly revealing, I'm just nervous that he's going to grab the cord. Sorry, guys, our menace of a puppy. When you become devoted to the art of revealing, this will truly change the fabric of your relationship. This will truly shift the transmission that your man is offering you in the relationship. Like you will receive a different man if you have had patterns of nagging, emasculating, or just giving him the silent treatment and withholding and holding resentment in your body. If you begin to practice this and truly being a woman that brings her desires into her relationship cleanly, Like, this is huge. Being a woman that shares her desires, like, hey, I would desire, even with the plants, I could have then shared with you, or even if I didn't want to share the herd, if that didn't trigger me, I could say, hey, I would really love you to bring those plants inside. I want to look after them again. I want to bring them back to life. I would really love if you, would you be able to bring those plants inside for me?
I'd love to.
Right? Instead of, oh, you haven't put the plants inside and they're dead.
Mm.
Right? This invitation, like, again, with that knowingness that your man wants to love you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, I can bring my desires forth, but it's my job to bring my desires forth cleanly without this energetic of, I'm going to ask for this thing and you're actually probably not going to even do it. I'm going to ask for this thing and actually I don't trust you to do it and I'll just do it myself. Like, so often our desires as women in relationship are then wrapped up in expectation or what
conditions.
Else? Conditions. Or just this, like, I don't actually believe that you're going to do it.
Let's see if, yeah, let
testing.
Let you prove my theory right.
Yes.
I'm going to watch you prove that I'm right about this and you're going to fuck this up. I want to speak just, I really want to land the piece around what if something is deeply important to you and your partner mm-hmm. keeps dropping the ball on that? Like, for me, that whole, like, not being on time, that was a big thing that I didn't respect time the way that you did. And I did, because quality time wasn't as strong love language as it is for you.
Mm.
When you shared a couple of times where I dropped the ball on that and you actually revealed, hey, I like spending time with you. And when you tell me that you're going to spend time with me or that you're going to be home at a certain time, I get really excited.
Mm.
It brings me alive. I look forward to it. And then when you don't communicate that it's changed and then I'm sitting here waiting for you, I feel really hurt.
Mm.
I feel really upset because you told me that you'd be home at this time and I was really looking forward to that. So one of the things here that's really clean is, like, if something's important to you and your partner isn't able to honor that, that conversation is really important because I'm guessing 9.9 times out of 10, your partner does want to love you better. They might just not be aware or have the same value on the thing that you have.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't really value indoor plants. I don't. Like, it's not something that I could easily not have any plants inside it and be completely okay with that. But even just on this podcast, I could have said, hey, can you bring those plants inside? I want to look after them. I could have in that moment been like, oh, of course, Meg likes indoor plants.
Mm.
I just, in my mind, it doesn't even register. But now I can be aware of that. I can do better. And I can continue to love you better and deepen with you.
Mm.
So really, like, a lot of the time, you know, Meg's told you beneath a complaint is a desire, and a desire is something that's important to you.
Yeah.
It's something that you want. It's like, this is important to me and it's vulnerable for me to share this, but it's going to, you know, vulnerability is a doorway to deeper connection. It is something that's going to give you access to what you really want.
Yeah. Do you want to come into wrapping this up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
So I think if you're a woman wanting to practice this, I want to just, like, reiterate some of the main pieces.
Because
we gave, like, some really specific examples, but I think beyond that, like, the overarching piece here is, can you let go of this idea that you know better than your partner? Like, the main piece here is, can you offer your partner your trust?
Mm.
Right? That is nourishing to a man and anyone, but specifically a man in relationship. And if we're again going back to that tree analogy, like, that's powerful motherfucking soil. A woman that trusts her man and is communicating that and is posturing that and is having that in her energetic transmission, like, that is powerful soil for a man to rise, a man to deepen into his masculine power, a man to come alive, like, in the relationship and outside of it. Truly a man that is backed by a woman, a man that feels such deep trust from his woman. Like trust in the, like she trusts him and his decisions and his capacity in the world. That's an unstoppable man.
And in a world that continually tells men that they're toxic and that they're bad and that they're wrong, like there is a narrative of that that floats around. Imagine what it would be like for you to be the catalyst for him to create a new story about himself. Imagine what kind of man he would become and who he would be honoring and revering and offering gratitude to if you were that woman. Like that is so fucking powerful. Because there's going to be a world out there that tells you you're not good enough and tell you that you need to fit this box, do this thing, do that. And men are subject to that their entire lives. You've got to have a bigger house, a bigger fucking car, a better fucking job, more money in the bank to be good enough. And this is a sacred duty that you really get to own if you want to in your relationship, is you get to be the one that reminds him of his greatness and what he's capable of through that feeding and nourishing him as he grows into the great big fucking oak tree that he is, the big cedar tree, and he provides the shade for you and your children and the life that you've created. And like this is you feed him and he will feed the life that you guys have always fucking wanted. And he'll serve you until his dying breaths.
Yes.
And this is the piece that, you know, if you feed a man in this way, he will devote himself and he will commit like no man ever has before to you and everything that you desire.
Yeah.
And it'll be fucking beautiful. It'll be fucking beautiful. And you'll be sitting one Sunday afternoon in the house that you fucking call a home with the people that you love, eating food that is delicious. And you'll look over at him and be like, fuck, we did this together. And that's the beautiful thing about relationships is that you get to do this together. You get to rise together and create a life together. And I'm just such an advocate for women who can love a man where he's at and see what he's capable of and call him into that with this feeding, with this nourishing feminine transmission. I'm an advocate for that because I've been such a recipient of it, and it's changed my fucking life.
Yeah, and I'm so here to help women love men really well because it's game changing. Like what you call forth, a man that's loved really well by a woman, like I just said, is unstoppable. A man that is loved really well by a woman, like what he can bring to her, but also to the world is next fucking level. How he can show up to his children, like all of it, all of it, all of it, all of it.
One more thing.
And so, I just want to like offer the women that are really wanting to practice this just a few final things.
Please.
A beautiful one-liner to practice. And if this is new to you and if you know like, fuck, this has been a confronting conversation and I want to get better at being the nourishing soil for my man, what I'm about to say is probably going to trigger you. But what I want you to practice is when it feels appropriate saying the line, I trust you. I trust you. So if he asks you, oh, what do you want to do this weekend? Or what should we, I want to take us, you know, I want to have dinner, like whatever kind of question.
I want to go out to dinner with you this weekend. Where do you want to go?
I trust you. If you definitely have a preference.
I trust you.
You could say.
I trust you. Don't offer your preference. Like,
but I'm saying if you, this is, you can't. What am I saying here? Yeah. I'm saying that you can't then hold, I trust you, and then have the preference of he better choose Indian. And then when it's not Indian on Saturday night, hold him in, you fucked up and you did wrong. Right?
Yeah.
So, right? So it can be.
Mexican.
I feel like either Indian or Mexican, you choose. I trust you. Right? But so there's like this.
That's hot when you do it. Really? Like Indian or Mexican.
I love, even when we're at the markets yesterday, I said to you, oh, I want a coffee. And you know, I have like a range of different coffees I drink. And I said to you, I didn't want to decide. And I was just like, you choose. I trust you. And so Jacob brought me back my coffee. And so this is such a beautiful way of like, practicing and offering your man this opportunity to feel trusting or feel trustworthy and yeah, like show his love to you. And I just love that.
And I think those micro moments, like choosing the coffee, choosing dinner, like they're not massive life altering experiences. Yeah. Like they're not going to change the entire course of your life in that one moment. But those, they're the micro moments that we spoke about at the start where like, oh, I feel like something like Indian or Thai or Mexican, like I'm open to anything. Like you choose for us.
Mm.
You can create that, like that dinner. If he chooses Indian and you're like, oh fuck, I wish we had Mexican. I'm like, is that actually a big deal? Mm. Like that's a micro moment of him choosing and you get to be aware of that. And it's like next week you can go somewhere else. Like these are the micro moments where you get to really practice.
You've got to be willing to then practice the embodiment of trusting.
Correct.
Him. It's not enough to just say, I trust you. Yeah. Then you have to bring your body along for the ride. And this is really the embodiment practice of becoming a woman that is able to love a man really well, is that you are going to meet every single part of you that's like, oh my God, no, I don't trust him. Oh my God, no, he's going to fuck it up. Oh my God, no, I want to choose and I feel so much more comfortable choosing. Like you're going to have to meet and feel all of those parts of yourself in order to fully become a woman that's able to trust her man deeply.
Mm.
And again, if that's not the path you want to take, if you don't want your man to have moments of deep leadership, if you don't want to feel taken care of, if you don't want to feel fully met in these ways in partnership, you don't have to fucking practice any of this. But if that's a deep yearning for you, then you must be willing to meet and clean up these patterns. You must be willing to feel and be with the parts of yourself that want to stay in control and, don't want to trust him. That's a part of the motherfucking ride.
It takes work, but it's definitely worth it. It does. It takes, like, this is going to take effort.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I just laughed.
I was like, I just think that, it's going to take effort, but it's like, for me, I just think that, there's so many men and women that we've worked with that have, that have reaped the benefits of this exact practice, and they put the effort in. And like you said, if you actually want this, here it is. Mm. If you don't, that's okay. But like, if you do want it, like, here's the opportunity. Here's the way to do it. And just, literally rinse and repeat. Keep practicing. Keep putting in the effort and find the clarity, clean up the transmission and bring it through. Aho.
Yes.
Mm.
Okay, my loves. Have fun practicing. Let us know how you go.
Mm.
And we'll see you back here next week.
See you soon.
Bye.
Love ya. Yo, yo, yo. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. Now, if you'd like to stay connected with Meg and I, you can head on over to Instagram and follow me at the Jacob O'Neill. And where can people find you, lover?
At the.meg.o.
Amazing. And yeah, guys, check out the show notes for all other information in regards to what we've got coming up. And yeah, we're super, super grateful that you guys have taken the time to listen in to this podcast. If you do have any topics or any questions, like I said, hit us up on Instagram and we'll see what we can do. Apart from that, have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day.
Thanks for being here.
Big, big love.